It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another action-packed, all right, maybe I oversold that one a little bit, let's just say informative episode of the Secrets of Staffing Success, brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Before we get to this week's episode, I want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, anywhere basically you can find a podcast, we're probably up there. You can also use your podcast app on your iPhone and subscribe to us and have all of our new episodes sent directly to your phone. So, whether you've been listening since the beginning or whether you're a brand new listener, thank you so much for all of the feedback that we've been getting. We really hope you guys find this to be very informative and hopefully presenting you with some ideas that you guys can use in your staffing company. Well, we have two guests this week on Secrets of Staffing Success. From Case Staffing Solutions, we have Les Hoffman and Chad Bloomberg. Chad, Les, thank you guys so much for joining us on Secrets of Staffing Success.
How's it going?
Like we like to have everybody do here, before we get started, give us your 60-second elevator pitch on Case Staffing Solutions.
Well, thanks for having us. Yeah, the short of it is we've been around for 35 years because we really care about people and we really care about companies and tying that all together. Specifically, it's probably three main areas that we really feel is our claim to fame. Skill set specialization. We work on a variety of positions for the industrial sector, but we keep it pretty niche, assembly, machine operators, packaging, and quality. So while a lot of companies out there are trying to scramble for a ton of folks for a ton of positions, making multiples and multiples of stuff, we just really hone in on those specific pieces and keep it simple. So when folks come to us, they know what they're getting. We use our processes. We really rely heavily on Six Sigma, Lean, and EOS-based strategies. So that's really the component where people can trust that they're going to get what they're going to get every single time and be able to bank on that. So, you know, that consistency and reliability builds a lot of trust in our world. And then really client tenure. I mean, folks really like to hear examples or hear of the stories. And, you know, again, having clients of plus 30 years, plus 15 mm-hmm. years really helps us, deliver that message. And folks, again, want to trust that. They want to know that the service is there. And they also want to bank on it in the future for, you know, really making financial and investment decisions. So, you know, in a nutshell, once you get those things in place, you just try to have some fun with it. And again, people are usually smiling when you find that right fit.
You know, one of the things that we hear a lot in the staffing industry is that dreaded commodity word that, you know, well, what makes you so different from your five competitors down the street? You guys mentioned 35 years. That's a long time to be in business and staffing. I'm sure you've seen plenty of competitors come and go over that time. What would you say is kind of the number one way you've been able to differentiate yourselves and have such sustained success over 35 years?
I think the biggest thing that we see is you got to have each other's back, right? Mm-hmm. There's a ton of things, like you said, commoditization, a lot of processes. But in the end, you're still dealing with people that need people to build companies, to grow. So in the end, you know, when the tough times come, the challenges, the decisions, the problem solving and so forth, you really need to be able to look left and right and trust that, you know, that person's got your back, that they're going to inspire you and empower you to do what's needed, whether or not it's a daily task or to really push a enterprise initiative forward. And again, in the end, once you do that just in the micro sense, it really hits on those macro items. Just a little push today, you know, a smile or helping out really can push a larger initiative. And by the time the year's done, you can really look back and be really, really satisfied with the accumulation of all that stuff.
Yeah, having each other's back is a great message. And I think that's one of those issues in the staffing industry that I don't think gets addressed enough is the internal staff turnover. You know, we see it with our clients. So much of their sales team and their recruiting team gets turned over every year. At Case Staffing, you guys are very involved with internal employee, you know, I'll say empowerment and development with something called the Case Way. What exactly is the Case Way, and how has it helped you guys with internal retention?
Well, the Case Way is an embodiment, right? So when folks talk about the culture, you know, what you're trying to create, each person adds value to that. Each person adds their own flavor to that. So when we talk about the Case Way, it really is, you know, that reinforcement of integrity, doing the right things even though no one's looking. From a process standpoint, making sure that things are being done so that you're following state and federal regulations, but then you're also doing the things that help individuals. And there's a feeling that goes along with that. When you see someone looking for a job, there's tremendous pressure, right? Earning money for themselves, supporting families, and so forth. But on the business side, there's also a huge pressure, right? You have a void of skills. You have a void of production. That's being shouldered by other folks. A lot of times it turns into overtime or so forth, but then it also puts the pressure on if someone's playing, doing a lot of overtime and playing additional roles, how much further development are they getting? So when you talk about, you know, clients, candidates, you know, we embody that internally. We have folks that are looking at their own development. They're looking at their pathway. They're looking at gaining leadership and they're looking at gaining opportunities. Right. And if we look at that internally and set that as our charter and kind of our vision and waypoint, then folks are going to work hard. They're going to bring ideas. Yeah. They're going to take these challenges of really, like, let's say, the depletion of online, as a crutch, pretty much online postings and so forth. And they're going to do the extra knowing that if they make these friendships with organizations, if they really care about communities and reach out to it, then they're going to find the candidates. The same thing with the client side. So when we talk about the Case Way, it's really about each person's embodiment about what they want the business to be.
Hmm. Let's talk about the retention on the other side of the candidates, your actual candidates. You know, we talk about this a lot, about the candidate experience. You know, it can be very tedious. It can be very time-consuming. What has been maybe the best enhancement that you guys have made to your candidate experience?
I'd say the biggest enhancement to the candidate experience is really keeping them informed throughout the process of from the time they interview with us to the time they interview at a company to the time they're hired. Mm. Oftentimes, you know, a lot of times the companies drag their feet. They're not prepared. They're not ready. We have to keep, you know, poking and prodding them to get them to realize, hey, this candidate's not going to be around. This is a perfect match for the position. Let's get them in the door right away and get them interviewed. But keeping that candidate informed throughout that process is extremely important because they want to know what's going on. They want the daily update of what's going on with the company, when are they going to interview, and just really keeping them assured that, hey, you're the right person for this position. We want to see you interview for this position, and getting them in front of the company is the most important thing. Because let's face it, all customers do the same thing. You know, they say they want this candidate, they want this experience. They'll interview at these times. You get them in front of them and they get cold feet or they get too busy, and you have to make them understand about the candidate. And then the biggest thing is just keeping that candidate informed about what's going on all the time and keeping them engaged.
I think that's a great message there. I think, you know, we don't hear that enough from staffing firms. You know, we hear a lot. You hear a lot of messages on social media and posts on staffing firm sites. Well, you know, I contacted them and then I never heard back from them. Or, you know, I heard from them a few times and never heard back from them. I think that constant communication with candidates, even, you know, something as simple as a monthly newsletter, you know, along with, you know, keeping informed with the process. I think that's so important that staffing firms really treat candidates just like they would treat a client.
Well, we see that a lot, Todd, and I think that's probably the case of some of those instances are the case that the candidate is not experienced enough for the role or has the proper skill set for the role, and the recruiters are afraid to say something. so then they go silent. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good way to do it either. The best way to do it is be upfront and honest with your candidate and tell them, hey, you know, this isn't the right position. This isn't the right fit for you. I'll see if I can find you something else. If not, we suggest that you also interview with some other companies as well. So they have a good experience with your company, whether you place them or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more on that front. All right, we're going to take a real quick break here, but when we get back, I want to talk with Chad and Les about the sales side of things and the importance of integrating marketing and sales to ensure staffing success.
This is David Cerns, CEO of Haley Marketing, and thanks so much for listening to Secrets of Staffing Success. Stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more. It's not just our catchy slogan. It's our goal for all of our staffing clients. If you'd like to find out how we can help your company achieve these three objectives, please check out our website at haleymarketing.com. Or better yet, give us a call at 888-696-2900. Thanks again for listening, and now let's head back to Todd.
Switch over to the sales side of things here. You know, oftentimes sales and marketing are seen as separate entities. You know, however, in the 15 years I've been doing this, the clients that I see who are the most successful are the ones who really integrate their sales and marketing efforts. How have you guys been able to accomplish that, integrating the marketing side of things with your sales staff at Case Staffing?
Well, really to have one goal, which is to grow our business. And like we mentioned earlier about the Case way, we grow that business by helping folks. Yeah. So our message in the marketing sense has to be the exact same thing as what we're selling, right? I think that sales sometimes seems one-sided because you're talking a lot about clients. But we use marketing in both sense. So, you know, if you market one thing to a client and then say something different to candidates, I mean, the internet, you're going to find out in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So a discombobulated message just doesn't work. The second, though, is that if you do get it right and candidates know what you stand for and companies know what you stand for, it's really empowering. It really reinforces those ideals. It reinforces what those, you know, the three items that we talked about that are a niche. It really is cool to see then, you know, you establish that trust right off the bat, or at least folks are interested because everything lines up. They're willing to give you a little bit more information about their business because they feel like, you know, you've approached it in a logical sense and logically you should be able to get those results. From a company standpoint, everyone's looking to optimize, right? Mm. But at the same time, folks are looking for the skills, but oftentimes you see people getting let go because of character. Mm. So it becomes critical that you really find out these folks, and vice versa. You have a lot of folks with great character, but how do you really communicate that online? How do you communicate that in two paragraphs, right, without getting off topic? So, you know, when we talk about sales, that's all we're talking about. And the message really comes forth both in the discussions and the face-to-face, but then also on blogs. You know, a lot of the things that we're doing with you guys or with Haley Marketing in the videos, so that it's all the same message, the same look, the same feel, regardless. Mm. And that way you don't have to remember stuff. It's just there, right?
Yeah.
And I love the old additive is if you don't lie, then you don't have to have a really good memory.
That's a good one. You touched on a little bit about technology, you know, doing videos and the blogging. What would you guys say is the single best technology investment you've made over the past few years?
I would have to say that would be Aviante, because that's probably the biggest change we made. You know, we were on a legacy system for 30 years, and it just didn't have the capabilities that Aviante has, and it's allowed us to do all of our management in one database pretty much, from obviously online applications to e-documents, getting rid of the need for paper. We used to be a very paper-friendly office. We had stacks of paper everywhere, and now the system allows the documents to all be housed within inside of Aviante, and it's really allowed us to streamline a lot of our processes allows the recruiters a lot more time and efficiencies.
What's also been really cool about that extra time has really been put forward to bridging essentially operations and sales. We're doing something that's been kind of unique in the fact that when we sell, we know what our pool looks like. We may have a list of five people ready to be placed in a company, because we know their roles. We've done our research. We bounced up online, or we've had candidates that have come from those companies giving us, business intelligence. So when we sell into it, it's good to have that pool. The vice versa is true too. It's giving us information. So if we don't have a pool, we can go in to a company and say, yeah, you're looking for what everybody else is looking for. And traditionally, when we have a candidate come in, we have them turned in 48 hours. So we don't waste the time putting together lists. So again, that technology has been pretty interesting in that fact. And, you know, one of our, I guess, claims to fame recently is by using that approach, using that extra time and integrating that technology, it's really helped us from an enterprise standpoint. And we communicated that to the Business Connect Super Bowl Committee hosted here in Minneapolis. And it's been a tedious vetting process, but we've been approved as an official provider for Super Bowl 52 through this program.
That's huge. That's a great get. Wow. That's excellent. The title of this podcast is Secrets of Staffing Success. But I'm also curious as to the mistakes you've made along the way. You know, I think we tend to learn more from our mistakes sometimes than from our successes. So can you think of that one mistake you made? Maybe not the biggest mistake, but the mistake that you've learned the most from over the years?
That's a good question. I would say probably the way we were vetting candidates and handling our candidates, because a lot of what we talked about before was what you were mentioning is how companies will interview a candidate and then leave them hanging out there. And you know, really understanding the candidate pool, understanding the needs of our customers, and, you know, really being able to put that process in play and do it very quickly, like Les was discussing. You know, we're competing with 985 other staffing offices in Minnesota. And if you don't differentiate yourself with the customers, they're not going to care, and they want to see people yesterday, and they want the candidate pool. And we used to believe that that wasn't possible, but now that's exactly what we do. We have those candidates vetted and ready to go for that particular company and those particular positions. So we actually hand the company a short list and say, these are the people we have available that match your criteria, what you're looking for right now. So they're like, wow, they, you know, they're taken aback a little bit by that when they see what we can do for them. And that helps us a lot more with our process. So I'd say that was probably one of the biggest mistakes, is we weren't doing that in the past. And now that's helped us out a lot.
Another thing that I throw on that is the feedback. It's almost instantaneous, but in a couple of cases, it took a little while to come back where, again, you hear candidates say, thanks for, even though I didn't get a position with you, thanks because you gave me those two antidotes that I worked on. And sometimes you see them come back. For ones that get placed, they go, again, they get, say, thanks, your communication. I would have taken another job had I not had that communication from you, and I waited because this was my first choice and I didn't have to settle. And the last example is we've actually kept our sites open for folks internally. Again, we talk about the case way. We want to interview everybody as if they could have a job with us. And we've actually hired two folks using that methodology here in Case. So, you know, there's no difference. What we want is it's streamlined. We want it to be the same. We don't have one story for one case or another. And that's, I guess we learned that by finally committing to it, and it's been very positive for us.
What are some resources that you guys use to learn? I mean, you know, the beautiful thing about the internet is we're all connected. You know, we don't have to be in the same room with people. We can join networking groups online. We can join local networking groups. Is there a book or a person or a resource that you guys have relied on over the years to kind of help guide you?
I think the biggest answer there is we rely on each other. And it may sound hokey, but, you know, I think a lot of companies undervalue or underappreciate or just plain don't listen to their folks. Some of the greatest ideas that we get from a social media standpoint and reaching out are coming from our millennials within our four walls. they know how to communicate and use technology better than me and Chad do. So we say, do it. From a strategy standpoint and a vision, Chad set down this vision and has reinforced it, not only by just the commitment and you know, sturdy handedness of getting it done, but there's financial investments that go along with it. One being Haley Marketing, so it's helping us in those fronts and gaining that. And then, you know, hopefully I bring enough value from an enterprise and strategy standpoint, right? And then we just bounce ideas off of each other. And what we really use as our litmus test or our BS test really is to say, are we going to do it? I mean, it could be a great idea. It could be something that's, you know, that everyone's saying in magazines and so forth. But if we can't really fit it in our schedule, it's not going to get done.
Mm. Yeah.
So from a technology standpoint, if we can't do it, then there's no way we can have someone program it. There's no way we can deliver that message to somebody and say, hey, build something on this. Because it'll be wrong. If we don't live it and actually do it and find some of the gaps, then we can produce a whole bunch of the wrong stuff.
From the first conversation I had with you guys, you know, probably a couple of years ago now, I had this sense of a very dynamic personalities, and I think people can hear it in your voices today and just a confidence in you guys. But I'm curious, do you guys still get nervous when you have to do a presentation to a prospective client?
Not really. And I don't mean that to be arrogant.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, it's really from a position of humbleness.
Hmm.
And I can say that because when we have candidates come in and we really feel like we have a diverse group, not only skills, culture, experience, and so forth, but you almost have to take up that banner for them, mm-hmm. right? And when we talk about how do you do that, well, we try to do that in all the mediums, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth, but especially in front of the client. Mm-hmm. And when you're tasked with kind of carrying that flag forward and really representing a group of folks, but you're doing it in such a way that it's genuine, telling maybe a couple of folks' stories, right, of how they've gotten to this point and how you're bringing them to the table for a specific position or company. Yeah, you don't really have time to be nervous. You're almost happy that you've got that opportunity to share that story, to share how they could be the next step or next five steps in that individual's life, that you almost... You're not nervous. You almost want to go in there and say, hey, if they don't want it, then maybe they're not the right choice.
Yeah. I love that. I love that idea too, because I don't want to say that the staffing industry doesn't treat candidates like that, but I think the staffing industry could do more of that, to tell the stories of their candidates and say, you know, you're not just giving this person a job. You're giving this person a life, really. You're providing them with the ability to provide for their families, and I think that message could be used so much more in the staffing industry. And I'm so glad to hear that you guys do that and you help tell the story of your candidates and give clients just kind of a good feeling about what they're doing. They're not just putting a body in place. They're making an impact on somebody's life.
Yeah, we had a candidate couldn't speak very well to the skill sets, couldn't necessarily put it into words that you know, followed a sequence. But when we talk about this candidate's actions, had been jumping from job to job, but you could see the work history working in on production line. Wasn't necessarily promoted to a supervisor position because of the verbal communication, but was knocking things out. I mean, you could see them excelling and so forth. Now, the individual didn't want to be a supervisor. They knew, you know, this person knew his limitations and so forth. And when he talked to us, it took a little more time to find out what this individual was looking for. Didn't want to bounce from job to job and really wanted us to help communicate that, you know, hey, love is building, producing things, you know, made in America type deal. Didn't want to necessarily being pushed into supervisor because that seems like the natural progression. Could we help communicate with that person's commitment to showing up every single day, doing overtime if needed, and knocking things out? Well, talking to the client up front about that, setting the expectations, helped dramatically. And, you know, this person didn't go through another cycle where they get hired on, want to get promoted, and then when they couldn't verbally help somebody else, and, you know, everyone kind of feels the pressure and feels like it's not a good fit, and then you had to lose this person? No. Mm. Every company's looking for that stability.
Yeah.
So again, yeah, telling that story and going into a company beforehand, just saying, hey, this is what you get. Is this what you want? And them going, wow, yeah.
Yeah. I always like to close with this question, and it's, you know, taking a little bit look into the future, 2-3 years down the road, where do you see the biggest change in the staffing industry coming from?
I think a lot of these, the fear is a lot of these online staffing companies are going to change the industry and knock staffing companies out of business. And I believe that's not true. For one reason is you're still going to have the personal relationships between the recruiters and the candidate. That's never going to change. With online companies, that just has an issue that I don't see that working out very well because the personal relationship's not there. So I think probably the biggest change is going to be you're going to see staffing companies, and it's already been happening, but you're going to see them be geared towards the candidate more, what the candidate's wants are, what the candidate's needs are, and how they can make it a faster and better experience for them. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Yeah. Everybody's fighting for the same candidates. You know, you want the best candidates, and they're going to go with the company that's going to give them the best experience and best possible situation to be lined up for success.
And one of the things that we see on a consistent basis is that there's definitely a place for online, you know, applications, resumes, and so forth. But, you know, folks may put in their application on Indeed, Glassdoor. I don't even know if Monster's still around. They can always seemingly change the landscape, right? Then you have the host sites for companies directly. You know, a candidate could spend, you know, their entire week and put in 50 resumes, but they still haven't met that one person that's trying to help them. There's a lot of systems providing maybe what you would consider access, but you don't really know, right? It doesn't mean that there's a human being on the other side. It could be going through an algorithm looking for keywords, key experiences, numbers, and so forth. And in a lot of cases, it's not communicated back. So when you talk about just that experience, I think that that's going to be one of the key things that are going to be a differentiator. Because companies are not just asking, hey, can you fill this position anymore? Yeah. With folks being in the market, they're asking staffing firms to go essentially into their competitor companies and unseating folks. And when you talk about that, they're asking, hey, if you're already going to go in there, you know, and whether or not a company says it, with the unemployment where it is, yeah, that's what's got to happen, right? Hey, while you're there, why don't you pick the best? So there's two things that happen in there. One, they're saying that they have to go into somebody else's business and take the person because people are actively employed. But then two, they're saying, hey, while you're doing that, I want the best. I want the top third of talent. Go find that for me. Yeah. And I don't know of any operating system that does that right now.
Right. And like we were just talking about, sharing the candidate's stories. The online, you know, side of things is not going to be able to share those personal stories. They're not going to be able to make you feel really good about what you're doing for this candidate. And you know, I think your last two answers there, I think, tie together very perfectly. They are Les Hoffman, Chad Bloomberg from Case Staffing Solutions. Guys, thank you so much for being a guest here on Secrets of Staffing Success. If you want to find out more about Case, just go to casestaffingsolutions.com. And again, guys, thank you so much for sharing all your secrets and all your wisdom and insight with our listeners.
Thank you very much.
My big thanks to Chad and Les from Case Staffing Solutions. A couple things that really struck a chord with me there. It had to do with employees, both internal employees and the candidates. We'll start with the external candidates. We hear so much and we talk about it so much about the candidate experience and how it's not the best in the staffing industry overall. And I loved what Chad and Les were talking about being upfront and honest with candidates. How many times have you brought people in for an interview, realized that they weren't qualified and never spoke to them again? Well, one, you're kind of doing them a disservice because you're not helping them. You're not giving them constructive feedback about how they can get better, how they can interview better, how they can improve their skill set. I remember somebody, we were interviewing for a position here at Haley a couple years ago, and during the interview, I asked this girl where she saw herself in 5 years, and she said, well, I would like to be in a big city like New York and Boston and working in PR. okay, we're a marketing firm in Buffalo, New York. That's not exactly what I wanted to hear. And I gave her that feedback after the interview. I said, you know, we were really close to hiring you, but we want somebody who's going to be here for the long term. We're not looking for somebody that wants to leave in a couple of years. So providing somebody with that constructive feedback is really going to help them in the long term. But it's also going to give them a good impression of you. You know, when you see bad reviews on Facebook and on Yelp and on all the different review sites of staffing firms, it's usually something along the lines of, well, these people never called me back, or I went in for an interview and I never heard from them again. That's probably 90% of the bad reviews that are up there. Head that off at the pass and just contact people that you interview, even whether they're qualified or not, and just give them some kind of feedback. Make them feel better about their experience. So even if they weren't qualified, here are some things that you can do that's going to help you in the future get a position like this. And the second side was on their internal staff, the Case Way, and what they said about how each person adds value to their culture. And when everybody is unified in the same goal with the same vision, that goes a really, really long way to success. I can't tell you in the 15 years that I've been doing this with Haley how many times I get emails from clients saying, hey, this person is no longer with us. Can you please change our contacts over to this person? It happens all the time. The turnover of internal staff in the staffing industry is fairly high. But getting them involved, getting them engaged, getting together once a week and talking about the big issues that your clients and prospects are having, and even candidates, that's going to go a long way to success and to improving internal staff retention and getting everybody focused on the same page and going for that same goal. So I think that's my big takeaway here from our conversation with Les and Chad is, one, making sure that candidates feel good about their experience with you, no matter whether you got them a job or not. Just a simple email back to everybody who comes in and interviews with you. Hey, here's what we think you can work on to improve in the future. And then with your internal staff, making sure that everybody's aligned, everybody's focused on that same goal. I think that's their secrets to staffing success. We got to run. We will talk to you again in a couple weeks here with another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. You can find all of our past episodes on iTunes, on Google Play. You can also find it on our website at haleymarketing.com. And make sure you follow us on all the various social media sites, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We're everywhere on social media. So we will talk to you next week. And thanks for listening to another great episode of The Secrets of Staffing Success.